Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Sometimes singing songs is such an awesome wonder. My soul magnifies his name. Hallelujah. Yeah, I think we've heard the message already this morning in what was we've been singing, and I just feel so redundant in that sense. I feel overflowing with a passion that has already been put there just through the songs that I've been singing. God is love. We've sung that. God is love. God is eternal. And we have heard how Jesus Christ was obedient to death. Now, Jesus Christ may have been obedient to death, but death could not overcome him. Death could not hold him. Death had no authority over Jesus Christ. Now, if Jesus Christ is love, hallelujah! What good news have we got already? Woohoo! How awesome is our God? God is love. He is holy, he is righteous, he is good news. Hallelujah, he is good news. And he loves us. He loves us so abundantly. He's asking us to surrender all we are to him, to bow down and worship him. Now, if I'm to bow down and to worship God, is that such a bad thing? If death has no power or authority over Jesus Christ and he wants me to bow down and worship him, I think I'm going to bow down and worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory who has overcome death. He is such good news. The songs that we sung are just uncontainable in my heart. Uncontainable. But I do have a message. But I just felt I needed to say that. We sing such awesome songs, guys. Most of those songs I didn't know, but wow. They packed for truth. They told us who our King of Kings is. But for the message, we've got two important things to know. Two things important to know. Actually, one of them is how much God loves us. How much God loves us. Where are we going? And who are we? You know, we've been hearing a lot through from the book of Revelation just lately. It's most encouraging. Let's pick up the start that again. The journey. There is always a journey. You know, God says, I want to lead you into new pastures. I want to lead you into new places. So if he wants to lead us, and it means that we're on a journey going somewhere. So the journey. Let's pick this up at the moment we give our lives to the Lord. The living word of God came into our hearing at a point where instead of maybe ignoring it, maybe giving it no consideration, the word came alive and we took hold of it. We accepted the word of truth and allowed this living word of truth to enter into our lives. God's word is living and active, people. It's a bit like yeast. Yeast that helps our bread to puff up so that when we put it in the oven, it don't go flat. It's the same for the living word of God. When we allow it to enter into our hearts, it's a transformation that happens. And we puff up with life. We puff up with a love that is in line with God's love. And that's important. Because God's love is awesome. God's love is alive. God's love brings life. Brings peace, brings joy. God's love is so astoundingly amazing. It's incomprehensible. And yet, the creator of the living universe, the world that we live in, that's an expression of his love. There's something I don't know how many times you've read your Bible, but it's like just this fountain of information that just always seems to have something new. You've read it so many times, and yet I come to this bit and I'm thinking, wow, why did I never see that before, Lord? And it's most probably because my heart wasn't quite in the right place. Wisdom and knowledge. Seek wisdom and knowledge. And when your heart comes in line to word, it comes alive, there's an excitement, and you just think, wow, what an awesome God I serve. Let's turn to John 1, shall we? John chapter 1 tells us. And in verses 45 to 51. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael's reply, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nazareth asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Now Nazareth was going through a spiritually low ebb, you could say. They weren't in the best of place when it came to being obedient to their God, into trusting him, into maybe seeking him. "So come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." I love reading the Word. The Word is life. It's life to my soul. My soul, my soul. Hallelujah. And yet, when Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Just revelation came recently that this is saying that Nathanael, by the living word that was expressed to him through Jesus Christ, through one statement, he was able to say, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." That word came alive in his heart, and he was able to declare, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." Now, I mean, that in itself is such an awesome revelation. And it is at that moment in time when we can say Jesus Christ is the Son of God that we start a whole new journey. Our lives are transformed from the moment we say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Please forgive me for my sinful life and set me free. And he keeps true to his word. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is good news. Let's look at what the tempter says, shall we? Shall we turn to Matthew 4 and verse 3? The tempter came. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's Matthew 4, verses 3 and 4. Now the devil knew who he was. But the devil was trying to tempt him into doing something that wasn't obedient to his father's desire. And it's interesting, isn't it? The reply that Jesus gives. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's how important God's word is in our lives. It's more important than the bread, the physical bread that we eat, because it sustains us spiritually. It sustains us and it connects us. It connects us to the living God. Because his word is living and active. And then there's a centurion in Matthew 27. In Matthew 27 and verse 54. Of course, does help to be in the correct chapter. When a centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Now, in a sense, he hasn't necessarily had the word in hearing form. He's had a visual revelation. And that visual revelation to somebody who, as a person in the Roman army, may not have known much about the Jews and their God, let alone somebody who was being crucified in obedience to his father. And yet, he exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. That's because you cannot contain the word of God. God's word is so living and so active, it is, you cannot contain it. So at that moment, when Jesus Christ was dead, physically, body dead, that is, spiritual transformation took place. It has been said that there were graves that flew open and people who were dead in the grave came to life. That's how powerful the word of God is. We're on a journey, people. We are on an awesome journey. And the more we trust in the word of God, the easier I believe our lives will be. Jesus Christ did say, life would not be easy, but I am with you. God is love. He is with you. He sent his Holy Spirit to not only seal us in to his presence, but to give us power and authority and enable us to live by his word. Matthew 16. And in verse 13, just bear me a moment. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now there's a definite theme going around, isn't there? To be able to acknowledge that there is a Son of a living God means that someone has had revelation of that truth. And God is the one that gives us that revelation. The moment we acknowledge who Jesus is, this is the moment we begin heading in a new direction. So where is it we're off to? Matthew 4 and 17 tells us that from the time that Jesus began to preach, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near." So what does that mean? For in Matthew 3, verses 1 to 2, John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. Notice how after saying kingdom of heaven, John then says, "This is he." So if it's a he, he's talking about somebody. Jesus is the kingdom of heaven. The Hebrew word for kingdom, the primary term, is dynamic, active, and refers to the exercise of God's power, dominion, sovereignty. So that means that somebody's in town who has power and authority, and it's good news. How does this understanding help us? Shall we turn to John chapter 14? And verse 6 says, Jesus said, John 14 and 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." As we know, Jesus Christ was crucified, he was buried, and he rose to life. Now there is an addition to the exercise of God's power. For in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now this means that somebody has no authority. That means that somebody had authority once, but now they don't. And that's the enemy. That's the devil. All he has left in his arsenal are some lies. That's what he started with in Genesis, with some lies. And what was it he said? "Did God really say?" Notice what it was he was attacking. He was attacking God's word. He didn't use a bomb. He didn't use physical force. He just spoke a lie. Today, people, if we are believers in Christ Jesus, we still have a choice to make. Do we trust in that word? Do we grab hold of that word and allow that word to work for us, in us and through us? Or do we listen to a lie? So that's given us a bit of a picture of who we are in Christ Jesus. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. In a sense, we become ambassadors to this word. Because God's word has a purpose. It always has a purpose. Let's see what that purpose might be. In 2 Corinthians, sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There are actually lots of things that are important to know in the kingdom of heaven. But for now, in verses 16 says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Righteousness, right standing with God. But there's another word for reconciliation. And that's reunion. So we are the good news to those who have yet to hear it. We are to bless them, to reunite them with their Creator, with the one who loves them so much, with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His love is what sustains us. His love is what helps us to overcome. We are alive in Christ Jesus, and we have a right standing with God because Christ Jesus made us righteous. Hallelujah. So that's who we are. Let's turn to Revelation 21. In fact, stay in Revelation 21, and it will be from verse 1 to verse 8. But Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place, He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now this is, I love this bit. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. It is important maybe to concern ourselves with what could be happening in the time that's near. But what I find to be important is blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. Now, blessed is a positive thing in my language, in the English language. Blessed means something good's going to happen. And we've been hearing a lot from the book of Revelation over the past month or two. So you are blessed. You are blessed already. You were blessed before. But every time you hear something from the book of Revelation, you are blessed. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. You know, I couldn't believe the songs that we'd been singing about that very thing happening. What was it said? It said about the earth being rolled up, is that right? Yeah. Our God is an awesome God. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for the words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Omega, and I am even the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I love the fact that he gives us good news before he also tells us about certain realities for those who choose not to accept God's word. That's what he's asking of us at the end of the day. He's asking us to accept his word as truth. And if we can do that, then we'll be living in a new Jerusalem. We'll be living where there will be no more death, no more thirst, no more confusion. Our God is a God of love. He has made a way. We are now living in that way. Let's turn to 1 Peter. If there is any here who feel that actually, I'm not sure I know this God, I'm not sure I understand what Jesus' love for me is. It's never too late whilst he is here. Because there will be a time when he will withdraw from the earth. But now is good news. Now he is saying, come, come, Lord. Sorry, that's what we say. Now he is saying, come, come into my presence. Come and drink, come taste and see that the Lord is good, that I am good. I think when you look at Christianity around the world, people have done just that and have accepted it. They have not turned away and said, actually, that's not for me, because the reality of love that brings us peace, a peace which transcends all understanding, is a living reality they want to hold on to. 1 Peter 2, verses 9, just 9 and 10. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care. That one does help to be in the right chapter still, really, doesn't it? Can we rewind that bit? But you are a chosen people. That sounds better. Hey! Okay. I shall now come into line with what you should be reading. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you were not, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In my enthusiasm and my passion for saying these words, I sometimes mix them up. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3, says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. He's done it all for us. What he's asking for us is to jump on board, to partake, and to deliver that good news to those who are still yet to hear it. He wants us to be effective and productive. And we do that by being obedient to his word. And if that means I've got to bow the knee, then I will bow the knee. Because it's life, it's light, it's love, it's grace and it's mercy. He loves us so much. His news is good news, and he wants us to be effective and productive. And he enables us to do that through his Holy Spirit within us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift up your word to you, and we ask that that living reality, your word, would come alive in our hearts, in our souls, and in our minds. Help us to be a passionate people for you, that we glorify you at each and every available opportunity. It's not about us, it's all about you. You are the creator of the living universe, and you want us to worship you in spirit and in truth. So help us this day in Jesus' name. Amen.